We kick off hour number two. So you are both in on this as a bumper.
Yes.
Okay.
Wish I could make a deal with God to get this hole dug quickly. So that Hick, or maybe just, you know, have it scheduled around 10:30.
Billy.
Did you see the Family Guy Jim that Brian just tagged you in?
First of all, it's a little too soon. I still got this, like,
oh my God.
It's bigger than a softball bruise, and it looks like a galaxy.
He just reminds me of that old Seinfeld bit about the horses. If they knew, there'd be some careful stepping going on. It's like, do they know what happens if they get injured?
That's not funny. That's sad.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
now we're ahead. No. Why don't you tell the listeners about the theory that you posited during the break? This crap theory.
So, I had
this is a brainless theory.
So, I had a dog growing up. It was named Mocha.
Mocha the dog.
Yeah, my mother named her. Pretty good name, I guess. She was a chocolate lab.
You don't
and,
say.
And Boykin Spaniel mix. Very smart dog. And as I discovered, very, very smart dog. Anyway, sweet dog. Stayed outside most of the time. Just laid around the porch, you know. Come inside from time to time. But mainly an outside kind of farm dog. Well, occasionally, we would get the idea that, you know, let's get Mocha a playmate, a companion, another dog to run around and, you know, pal around with over the years.
Dogs like friends.
My parents to this day will not admit this fact because they love Mocha. It was like the dog, right, of my childhood. It's the one that lived the longest, was the most loyal, you know. But when we would get a second dog, maybe not at first, but eventually, Mocha, who never, ever, we lived on one of those country roads with no lines on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Not a dirt road.
When we first moved there, it was one of those roads that had been paved a long time ago, and they had just patched it a million different ways, especially on the sides. It had the gravel in the asphalt almost showing through. Mm-hmm. It was so old. And then all the black, like, it almost looks like sticky patches everywhere. And then eventually they did, you know, run another lane of asphalt over it. But it was about 1.25 lanes wide.
Mm-hmm.
But where our house was, you hit a little down, it's pretty curvy, you hit a downslope, and then it's just straight away. So people would hit that downslope and just haul. Now, the house was pretty far off the road. It wasn't anything crazy. And Mocha, by herself, she never went to the road. Never, ever. Laid around the house, ran around the woods, ran around the yard, never went to the road. You get a second dog, eventually, maybe not at first, but eventually, those damn dogs will be playing in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. But guess which dog never had an issue getting run over by cars? That would be Mocha.
Hmm.
Multiple other dogs.
What are you doing?
Just taking out. It's like, hey, let's go play out here, little companion. I think this is a good spot.
Are you insinuating that Mocha was a killer?
Just that, you know, she wanted to remain the favored, you know, dog in the spotlight, so to speak. The lead dog, you know?
Yeah.
Number one. So I started to put some things together here with your little rant at Adam Hickman.
I'm sorry? With me?
Mm-hmm. You came on to, you joined the station. We had Brad. Then he left. Then Davey gets his own segment. Starts to become a little bit maybe too much of a star.
Okay.
And he's out at Billy Stats, kind of finds his thing. He does, during COVID, He played the video game tour that you bashed on the whole time. People loved.
He made s'mores.
You didn't want him to make the s'mores. He makes the s'mores. They're a hit.
Didn't want him to.
And all of a sudden, okay. Billy Statz has got to lead the show. I mean, he said it's because his other job changed schedules. I don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. Now Hickman with his hot takes, he's really starting to settle in. And this summer, finding his voice and, this football season, probably going to be a big one for Adam Hickman. His star is starting to really shine. And you... Yep.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting the process.
Me.
Yes, you.
Who hired him to dig this hole?
Huh? I don't think that's relevant.
You're leaving the show to watch a guy dig a hole. Why?
Hey, this isn't about me and Nate or Billy. This is about you.
I feel like this is turning into an intervention.
we care about you, Chris.
We want you to realize that you'll always be the big star here,
buddy. Okay.
Just like I tell people around town, you do a sports talk radio show? I'm like, yeah, but I'm not the star. It's not me.
I don't like this.
I'm just the wheel man. I just get us in and out of the breaks. I bring on the callers, of which we'll do in a second. The real star of the show. You might know him on Twitter. You might have heard him before at, some of his earlier stops. The legendary, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, this guy can dig holes amazing. He's the Michael Jordan of hole
diggers. Houston Crest at Vol Rumor Mill. And a lot of times they're like, oh, yeah, Vol Rumor Mill. I'll follow him.
Okay.
We just want you to know you're still number one, Houston. It'll always be that way. As long as you keep killing off everyone else from their radio careers. All right, to the phone lines we go. We got Philly up next. Speaking of, pretty big star caller. What's up, Phil? You're on 3 and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Philly.
Has Houston taken a chill pill yet?
That's it. I'm going to go watch a guy dig a hole.
I mean, you could go be on there at 3 o'clock with Barry Bryant and W. Your chill pill might be needed,
I don't know what happened this morning. I come in to do 3 hours of radio, Phil. I got people wanting to skip out on the show. And I'm the bad guy.
I know it's rough, but the radio's radio. And
that's true.
I miss old Billy, and I miss Davey. I used to love to say Rat Boy about, every once in a while, get him all stirred up. But Peyton Manning, if he would have gone to Florida, you think Florida had won multiple national championships with Spurrier?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm trying to think. He beats out Werfel, right?
Sure.
Werfel's the one that won him a national championship.
I know. I'm saying, yeah. But like Peyton would have been. I mean, Peyton was better than Werfel. As a player.
Sure.
So yeah. He's probably hanging. He's probably got a statue out front.
Steve
would have
used them both. They both would have been champions.
He probably played both of them at the same time, like he did several times.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Imagine that. But. I do like Hickman there. He brings championship pedigree to your show since he loves Tom Brady so much.
Thank you, Philly.
And that's one way to get a championship, isn't it?
Yeah, surround yourself with other champions.
Yeah, just follow the guy around. Yeah,
build a super
team. He's digging this hole so he can throw all his Tom Brady stuff in the hole when Tom retires.
And then unretires and he just digs it right back up again?
That probably worth a lot of money, all that, if I already know it.
How much Tom Brady memorabilia do you have?
I actually don't have that much.
Mm.
I do.
It's
have
all in your heart? Is that
I do
it?
Have a lot of cool championship Super Bowl tie-dye shirts. Those are always fun.
Tie-dye shirts.
What? Tie-dye's in.
Okay.
I do like y'all bring up this Florida angle again this morning. It's kind of a recurrent theme for the last 30 years of Tennessee athletics.
I was going to say, every year it feels like that is that's the summer topic. Is this the year?
It has to be the year. If he don't beat him this year, he's never going to beat him.
Well, I mean, once again, it's not the first big game as it's been for many, many years, but it's at a crucial point in the season. You go up and beat Pitt. Right, though,
Florida is playing two teams that are pretty good before they play us, and historically they've never done that before, have they?
Never.
No. Usually it's been one, and it's like, well, I say one tough game. They play like lately in the last, what, like 5 to 10 years, it's been Kentucky?
Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah, Kentucky should have beat them
several times. Yeah.
They've lost games to Florida. Florida, really, outside of Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer, they're really not that good.
Nah, you got a point there. I mean, they've been good enough to beat us, but they haven't really done much else. I mean,
exactly,
I guess,
like us beating Kentucky.
Yeah. Like, McElwain did win the East twice, and they fired him, you know, the one year he didn't.
Do y'all think this LSU is going to try to buy them a baseball championship down there?
Seems like that's what they're doing, right? I mean, they got didn't they get the Vandy shortstop yesterday? They got Tommy White. I think there was – did they get the Vanderbilt pitcher, too? Yeah. I mean, they're NIL and all over this base. Well, and I mean, historically, they've been one of the best programs in the SEC, if not the best. So they're probably missing that a little bit. They got a big stadium that hasn't been full lately.
Yeah, but what gets me, though, the NCAA is looking at the football and basketball program. How's the baseball program turning it up? And then Ant Plowman tells Danny White to cool it on the NIL here. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And we're blaming Plowman now?
Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard that.
When did that happen?
Really?
This comes from the SEC office, the heat on Tennessee. They don't like it because Tennessee's a threat to, the big boys in the league, NIL. Sankey and all that bunch.
Why can't we be a threat? Like, what's so bad about Tennessee being good?
Well, that's what courts are for. And if you go to court, you're going to win now.
Pay them whatever they want. Buy the kids. I don't care.
Exactly. This is like the Wild Wild West. Buy, 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 and win. That's why it goes all hand in hand. It's like Duke basketball.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Huh.
That was hurtful, by the way.
What?
Comparing me to the dog that takes other dogs to the street so they get hit by cars. Didn't appreciate that.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
It just came to me.
You did a whole spiel on it.
Well,
I just I started this whole thing with saying I don't know why I get blamed.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be upset about it if you didn't think there was some truth to it.
No, it's a bold-faced lie. That's why I'm upset about it. I haven't run anyone off.
No, you haven't.
Don't walk it back now.
You just yell at them for an hour about stuff that they do and don't do, and then they leave on their own.
I'm away from L.A. back to Knoxville. I found out those bright lights.
Hour 2 continues, brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out.
I can't make it. I got to go watch a guy dig a hole. See, there's a home.
Well, thanks to Captain Touchback, he has power ranked. I mean, it is power ranking season here on Sports Talk Radio.
It is list season, ranking season. Yes, this is true.
Yep. He put out his list of famous holes. Number one, the Grand Canyon.
That's a good one.
You been to the Grand Canyon, Hickman?
I have not.
I haven't either.
It is a big hole.
I've seen it from a plane.
You haven't been either?
Mm-mm.
I thought you'd been.
I bet that's probably honestly the coolest way to see it. probably really puts it into perspective. I don't know why I just said that like that.
Puts it into perspective.
Maybe he does need to be knocked down a notch or two, Chris. Now,
I don't knock people down notches. What are you doing?
Now that you don't mention it.
Now, Grand Canyon, that's one of those things that I think a lot of things are overrated.
Is that a hole or a ditch?
That's a hole.
It's erosion, huh?
I don't think you can properly rate that. Like, because if you give it, I mean, you can't give it enough credit for just how massive it is.
But doesn't a hole have to have well-defined sides, like within view? I mean, if the hole just visual, I mean, obviously it doesn't go on forever, but if visually if it just goes on forever, is it really a hole?
I feel like it's more of a hole than a ditch.
Well, I mean, it's a canyon. That's why I have a whole separate word for it. It's not the Grand Hole.
No, it's not.
The Grand Canyon.
But a canyon is a type of hole.
Is okay.
Okay.
The meteor crater in Arizona. That's a hole.
That's a hole.
Lake Okeechobee in Florida. That's a hole.
Mm.
Filled with water, of course, but that was caused by impact.
Is there any good fishing in there or no fish because it's just like...
Okeechobee?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
I thought so. I thought I heard that.
What about the black hole?
The black hole or a black hole?
Oh.
Is there...
There's multiple.
Is there a hole. The black hole?
Yeah, like in Oakland. Rest in peace. Oh, yeah. Vegas. But no, a black hole. I mean, that's the best, biggest and best hole.
I feel like it's a bad hole.
We don't know.
No one's ever like...
It was good in Interstellar.
Interstellar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Captain Touchback has number 16 at Augusta.
Mm, it's a good hole.
Yeah. And then what's the deal with Courtney Love? That's a band?
Yeah, her band was called Hole.
It's called Hole?
Yeah.
H-O-L-E or W?
No, H-O-L-E. Hole.
Just like void.
Yes.
Like, was it depressing?
The music? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of grungy, you know.
All right. It's like you're in the hole, like stuck in a hole.
Stuck in a hole.
Yeah. And he's got Hickman's Hole coming in at fourth.
Wow, today's hole that hasn't even been dug yet is in the top five of holes.
That's a pretty good list.
I cannot believe that we are losing Hickman today.
Yeah.
So that he can watch a guy dig a hole. Because you want him to, so that he can learn how to dig a hole.
Yeah.
You don't see any problem with this?
No. It's got to be dug correctly. Hickman's got to be able to, know these things.
Well, here's the deal. If you dig a bad hole,
yep,
and it's not correct, can't you just fill it in?
Mm-mm.
Make it right?
Nope.
You're sure?
I mean, you can a little bit, but, you know, structurally, it'll never be the same again. Really, you know? You want the virgin soil to... You know, remain where it is so that you know, your next phases of construction are all go correctly.
I don't know where I'm at today. I mean, here's me trying to keep Hickman on the show, but you say that I draw all of the producers and co-hosts to the street and let them get hit by a car.
That was just a theory, you know. I just, just kind of hit me that, you know, people are always accuse you of that. I've never accused you of that.
Maybe it's you.
Maybe it's me. I run people off.
I mean, you're here as much as I am.
That's a good point. Maybe they get sick of me.
You are their boss.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't have any power here.
Mm. I think this is just... I've always thought it's just a problem that, you know, the good programs always have. You know, people come after their people. It's like losing assistant coaches. It's like what our baseball program...
You're the people! You are going after your own people.
No, I mean like...
No.
I mean like, you know, Lucas Panzeca, Davey Hudson, you know, Trey Wallace, they all just get sniped up by other media brands.
But you are hiring Hickman away from here today. You are the problem.
I didn't tell him he had to be there. He could have gone at 10:30.
Boss has spoken.
Listen.
Yeah, and who's the manager? Where did he come from?
Jeremy Pruitt, who we talked about earlier with his quotes, I let my people run their departments.
And Nate is not a micromanager.
Yeah. I don't mess around with the schedule.
Maybe you're a little
too. Her title is scheduler.
And who is
so
that?
I don't have to do it.
And who is that?
What?
Who's the scheduler?
It's a person you don't know.
Oh.
Oh, did you think it was?
Yeah.
No. You don't know her. She's great.
I'm sure she is.
Yeah. You can call the office number. You'll get her.
I got contacts at pool business, okay?
If you need us to dig you a hole and put a swimming pool in it, you can call
the office. Yeah, anytime between 7 and 10 a.m., apparently.
And, you know, the scheduler will greet you and take down your information, and one of our designers will reach out. Design, price, sell you the pool. We'll permit the pool. And then Hickman will come watch
somebody dig a hole.
Look at this. Look at this.
Yeah, and then you'll get to meet Hickman.
As if he hasn't taken away from the show enough today. Now it's a live, an unpaid live read, I might add. Yeah, good for business, Nate.
Call that a barter.
What, are we getting a pool here? We trading services?
Yeah. Might get have a pool party. I don't know if you're gonna be invited now. You're hating on the holes so bad.
This is unbelievable. Am I the only person who cares about Fan Run Radio? More than a hole?
We're going to do a crawfish boil pool party, and you're not going to be able to make it, right?
Good. I wouldn't come anyway.
He got mad at me because I had crawfish this weekend.
I didn't get mad at you. I said, good job.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nate's never going to buy the damn things.
I told you I'd buy them. Just schedule it, and you didn't schedule it. Maybe we should hire a scheduler. Maybe we could steal her away from the pool business.
Yeah, like that's going to happen. Look, I know where your loyalty.
Double duty.
I know where your loyalties lie. All I'm saying is every time you pull away from this show, I get blamed for it.
Mm.
Do you consider me a friend?
I do.
Good friend?
Good friend.
Have I ever double-crossed you? Have I ever been dishonest? No. Have I ever done anything wrong to you?
Very rare in this industry, too.
It is.
I know. You've been a loyal star of the show.
Like a good dog, right, Nate?
No. You're better than that.
Thank you, Nate, for saying I'm better than a dog.
You're welcome.
But every time you do this...
What do I do?
You steal from the show! You steal Billy! You steal
Hickman!
I didn't steal
Billy! His work schedule changed with his other job that he then grew to hate.
And then you scooped him up, didn't you?
Yeah.
But not here. Just saying.
Maybe he didn't want to come back here.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe you can go to hell.
I don't know.
How's that?
I don't know. Yeah. Ask him.
Nah, I'm not talking to him. Homie, I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground.
Hour 2 continues. This segment brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. Check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com and get your HVAC maintenance this time of year. That way you don't have any issues.
Or if you need, they'll take care of the whole thing.
If you need a new unit, they can help you with that as well. They got the virtual dispatcher, too, if you have an issue just like all of a sudden, overnight or whatever. It's bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Locally owned and operated. bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Somebody, I don't even know where this came from.
What?
Oh, just some random, not random, but a Tennessee fan that I follow. Tag us or anything. He just tweeted this link out, I guess. It's an article from 5 years ago about Butch Jones.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
It's titled Team 121. I'm already triggered. Team 121 Unity mirrors Unity following Manning's UT departure.
What? What is that? These things don't have anything to do with each other.
When Peyton Manning played at Tennessee, it was mostly all about him. That's not to be taken in a negative way.
See you, Adam. Enjoy that hole getting dug.
I will be sure to...
It's not on,
it's
you
not
idiot.
On. You blew it.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, just...
Sad.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. Bye. Picks. Bye. Yeah, please. Send pics of the hole.
Hmm.
I hate to fall into that hole. Get stuck.
He said... So it's not to be taken in a negative way, but he was the focal point for his Tennessee teams, especially from the media standpoint. And then it goes back a little further and it says Fulmer needed Manning to jumpstart his program. And then I guess, without reading all this, the comparison is going to be that after Peyton Manning, the team had to come together even more. It was a, you know, it was basically... It's trying to let Tennessee fans make the conclusion that Team 121 is coming together just like 1998.
Was that the 2017 team that won four games? Right?
Yeah, so... Thus, the spotlight shone on Joshua Dobbs, Jalen Hurd, Derek Barnett, Alvin Kamara, Cam Sutton, Jalen Reeves, Maven, and Josh Malone. Their importance in building the program back up resulted in UT having permanent captains for the first time in 5 years. Jones, that's Butch, Butch Jones, named Dobbs,
thank
Kamara,
you.
Sutton, and Reeves Maben as captains at halftime in the Orange and White game in 2016. All seven players were great individuals on and off the field.
Oh, God.
Now Team 121 on the field will deal with life after the core seven, and it is already apparent that it is a closer-knit squad and not a star player-led team like Team 120. Jones has referenced the team's new energy. Says there's a lot of excitement and fresh perspective from the five new coaches.
Yeah, that's always good. Yeah, that's what you really want to do to keep a system going. It's just five new coaches. Larry Scott, offensive coordinator. Yeah. From tight ends coach.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that was a good one.
The disconnect was apparent.
Fired Big John Janitor. Who do we get in? We got Bob Shoop from Penn State and had the worst defense of all time.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Uh-huh. I mean, just great stuff.
A lot of times watching Tennessee last year, players did not seem to be on the same page and appeared to have a disconnect from certain other players. The disconnect was apparent from game one against Appalachian State.
Mm-hmm.
Which took a Dobbs and Malone deep pass. Yeah, yeah, you know how it went. The continuous downward spiral of what appeared to be a lack of unity carried over into another close call victory over Ohio and bad starts against Virginia Tech, Florida, Georgia, and Texas A&M. Losses to Alabama and South Carolina were the tipping point to an unusual season that did not show signs of a count. I love how we're blaming all these guys that are in the NFL.
Too much talent. That's why that team didn't make it.
Wait
they were
till
too...
you see this team.
Yeah. Sure, Alvin Kamara's gone and Jalen Hurd transferred, but.
Yeah.
I mean, John Kelly was pretty good, but still, just a joke, man.
We got Quentin Dormady.
And freshman sensation, Jarrett Garantano.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have challenged our players in three areas: details,
accountability,
and toughness. Jones said. Yeah. It is really about zeroing in on the details and turning it up a notch.
Tad.
Turning it up in terms of details with everything that we do from a fundamental standpoint.
Do you think we read this 5 years ago?
I don't know that we read this specific article, mm-hmm. but we definitely...
Just other ones like it.
We definitely talked about it. And it does make me always a little hesitant to talk glowingly in the offseason about what the team could or... could not accomplish, but I think that's just that's unfair. It's unfair to the next guy. Unfair to Josh Heupel to not say the team should take a step forward just because it didn't at some point 5 years ago. I just don't want to be tricked again. I don't want to be.
Well, that's the good. You don't get you're not getting those kind of stories from the hype. What do you? Did you get a whole update over there? Or
no, it's just who's okay. On the phone line.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's good. Sorry, I'm a little triggered.
Yeah, I can tell.
A hole triggered today. Staring down the hole again. Hands are on my back again.
No, I just don't. I mean,
no, man, it's smart. You got your guard up. Well, that's fine.
But no, Heupel hasn't. He hadn't written any letters like Billy Napier.
No,
he hasn't. I mean, he has some catchphrases, but like
chasing championships.
I don't think they're over the top. No, just like stuff like for the players. But I don't think they're over the top. He doesn't. I think that's the biggest difference with Butch Jones and like other coaches, because like, you know, every coach was like did the all in thing, like got to be all in. They had the shirts, and then there's some other.
That was Kiffin's thing that year he was here.
Yeah,
all in.
Like Dabo has the bring your own guts thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. They all have things, but I think the worst thing about Butch Jones is he brought that to the fan base. He was almost more excited to share his little sayings with the fans than he was the players.
Maybe, I don't know. It's like he felt so clever,
right?
When he would say that way, and everyone's, oh yeah, but we're gonna do it brick by brick.
Yeah,
sounded good, didn't it, guys? It's like, no, not really.
My son's architecture camp has titled that brick by brick.
But they're using Legos.
Right.
I think
it makes sense.
There's a Lego. I mean, it's obviously modeled after a brick. Do they call those little Lego bricks?
Yeah, there's a whole like store in town. I think it's called like Bricks for Kids. Cut the check. Bricks for Kids. It's you know, just Legos.
Is it Lego brand?
Yeah.
And others are just...
I guess. I don't know. No, but they call them bricks when they're talking about Legos.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a big Lego guy as an adult. Some people are, apparently.
Yeah. Mostly people with kids. Maybe you should become a Lego guy.
No, I mean, I know a guy who like has a whole Lego room, like for him.
An adult. It's a good, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah.
I don't want to say waster, but, you know. I said I don't want to say that. It's a time filler.
But, okay. But by saying it, you kind of say it.
No, I said I don't want to say time waster, as in, like, you're wasting time, right, but it fills time.
Okay.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
There's nothing wrong with a good hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Some people fish. Some people hunt. Some people dig holes.
Yeah.
Some people play with Legos. It's fine. It's good stuff.
If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. We'll get to the phone lines on the flip side. Final segment. Hour number two, back at you next right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number two of the program. 865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in, intern Brett will greet you. First, this segment, we have Jay on the horn. What's up, Jay? You're on 3 and Out.
Well, guys, you know, I was thinking about this a couple days ago when y'all was talking about Butch. you know, since Fulmer left, we have had emotionally unstable coaches every time. Now, I'm not counting Heupel. All of our coaches have been, like, emotionally unstable. You have, I mean, think about that, right? I mean, like, Kiffin's Kiffin, okay? That's just all-encompassing. He's Lane Kiffin. That's all you really have to say about him and all his baggage.
Yep.
But then past that, Derek Dooley, what was Derek Dooley known for? He was known for thinking that he's smarter than everyone and being a jerk if you talk to people inside that building.
Yep.
Stuff. I mean, that's what they said. He's a jerk. He thinks he's smarter than everybody in that building, and he treats people like that. He won't even – I know – several people that have been in that building that have seen all these coaches. They said Derek would, like, you could wave hi at him, like being friendly. He would just look at you, like, just and just wouldn't even do nothing, just not even acknowledge you. And then you take Butch. People I talked to, they said Butch wasn't so bad when he first got there. Once the pressure started cooking up a little bit, he turned into a monster. And how he treated people was, I mean, how he treated some of these people and some of the stuff he would do in front of the entire team, it was unreal, like just completely dressed people down.
Yep.
They said he was just an absolute monster to people. And then Jeremy Pruitt, right? And the way Pruitt treated people outside of his football team and the academic people, they said he was just awful to some people in those academic areas and people that really weren't directly on his football team. Heupel's like the first guy that we've had that just seems like a decent dude. You know, like,
I agree.
He just seems like a decent guy that, like, just treats people with respect and dignity. And I know that's something so crazy to say, but really, we haven't had that in like 13, 14 years.
Yeah, I think.
Which is crazy.
I think you thought you were getting a nice guy with Dooley, but he just turned out to be kind of a weirdo.
And he was a jerk.
And then Butch Jones, I think the goal was, because I'm trying to go back in time and think how we thought. I mean, I think the goal was, oh, this guy's stable. He's solid. Like, he's not going to be like Lane Kiffin and be emotional. You know, he's just going to.
But then he got paranoid. Football.
Yeah, but then he like,
yeah.
Like this job just kind of like broke him.
It broke him. And you know, with Butch and the way he talks, he would have to win at such a high clip for any fan base of this size to deal with him, because any losing whatsoever, they're not going to be able to take that.
Like, right.
I have never seen someone talk the way that man talks. And so many just phrases and acronyms. And I mean, it's just like, who does that?
Yeah. It's just, he's a walking cliche.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably the worst one for that actually. Cause like if Pruitt wins, you don't care that he's an idiot. If Butch wins, he sounds so weird. If Dooley wins, I mean, his pressers would be fun.
Obviously, yeah, he was funny.
If Lane wins, it's fine. Like, you'd love that. But, yeah, Butch is the only one that could actually probably win and still be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be as annoyed, exactly. Obviously, but, yeah.
Exactly. You know, I thought Pruitt, on some of these interviews he's doing, he's had some insight, I think. I think he kind of acknowledged that, hey, maybe I couldn't handle everything. You know, I think he acknowledged about, you know, he said, I know defense. I knew the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, handling the offense, handling recruiting,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the guys learn. It may be too little too late, but maybe he's kind of learned from some of his mistakes.
Yeah, I don't know that Butch did. I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, he's Arkansas State.
But Houston, Butch can't. Butch thinks he's the smartest guy to ever live. He literally said his system was infallible.
Yeah, I mean, that was his introductory press conference, if I'm not mistaken.
Infallible. Nothing is infallible, except for maybe Superman's not even infallible. How is your system infallible?
It feels like, to me, Heupel is the first guy to really feel like he's lucky to have this job, whereas everyone else, it felt like they felt that Tennessee was lucky to have them.
Which, Heupel has a better resume than all those guys. They should have felt lucky to be here. Derek Dooley
should have been praying to
whatever God he prays to say, thank you, God, for letting me get this job. I mean, like.
Oh, I mean, same for Butch and Pruitt. I mean, even Kiffin at the time, like, I know he was a hot name, but he had just flamed out royally in Oakland.
Mm. Yeah, Kiffin and Dooley, though, you know, were born on third base.
Oh, I know.
They're parents.
But Dooley, I mean, in no way should that job have fallen to him.
No.
Butch. I mean, it was like Charlie Strong and all these other, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we get the guy who followed Brian Kelly to Cincinnati. Like, it was like, huh? What? Yeah, but Heupel, it just seems like, and maybe it's because he played at a place like Oklahoma around the time when Tennessee was good. Like, he understands more about Tennessee than any of those guys.
Houston, what was his record as a quarterback? Was it like 36-1? Was it something crazy like that?
Ooh.
Who?
Heupel at Oklahoma.
Oh.
Because he won the national championship one year, and I think he maybe played another year because he transferred to Oklahoma. I thought something like his record as a quarterback was something insane.
I'll look for that. They list his head coaching record, obviously, but not his record as a starter. I will look for that, though, because that's interesting.
Yeah, because... Well, the reason why I said that, because I saw a video of Nico, and this one comment was like talking about how he's going to just kill, and he said Mr. 36-1's offense. And I was thinking, is that Josh Heupel? Like, did Josh Heupel go 36-1? So I didn't know. But guys, I'll get out of here, man. Y'all have a good rest of the day.
Thanks for the show, or for the call. I was trying to.
What?
Yeah, I don't know about the record thing. I mean, they were undefeated in 2000. Wasn't that his only season, though?
He played 99 and 2000.
Okay.
Played 11 games in 99 and 13 games in 2000.
I mean, I read the Mike Leach book, and some of the other coaches on the staff wanted some other transfer that was, you know, a little bigger, stronger arm. And Leach was the coordinator at the time for Bob Stoops and said, no, I want this hypo kid. They're like, why? Like, he doesn't move as well as this other guy. He's not as tall. He does not have as strong as arm. And he's just said he's more accurate. Like, I just want the guy that is the most accurate. I can, you know, teach him how to where to put the football or you know, when and where to throw the football. And I like that, you know, like how did we, like Derek Dooley, I guess, might be kind of a smart guy in terms of just like IQ or whatever, maybe. I don't know. But like we hired some of the dumbest guys after, like Butch Jones and Jeremy Pruitt, probably some of the, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be a really good football coach. I mean, I think being disciplined and being really well organized and then being able to
Butch would joke about how big of a moron he was.
Yeah, and then being able to create kind of like funnel the passion of your players into a work ethic is a critical skill that really can't be measured, but I mean, my goodness, yeah. Butch would make fun of himself about how dumb he was.
But he worked really hard.
Yeah, yeah. I just sometimes just not even. It feels like with Heupel, at least we have a guy that knows when he, like Pruitt's big thing is he didn't even know when he was sucking out loud. You know, like he wouldn't admit it. I don't know which. It felt weird too. Like a guy that came from Alabama and had so much success at Florida State, not acknowledging that, like, yeah, this isn't good enough. I mean, usually when you hire a guy off a championship team and they're in the rebuild, they'll say things like, you know, in year one, let's say, you know, and you go 6-6 or whatever, a guy that has come from only winning will say, yeah, this isn't – I hate losing. I can't stand it. This isn't good enough. You know, we've got to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, Pruitt – maybe he thought that, but he didn't –
yeah, I never voiced it.
He kind of went the other way, and it was weird.
He kind of played like the pity party in the post game, just like, well, I don't know, you know, we didn't do this right, and I don't remember him like busting on the players too bad. Like, felt like Butch did that from time to time.
Yeah, he was kind of a player's coach in a way, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But he also didn't really make it fun. It's like he wasn't hard on him, but he didn't make it fun either.
Right,
it was like the worst of both worlds. Heupel was the quarterback. So he started 24 games, what this says? Just looking at stats.
At Oklahoma, yeah.
2000,
yeah.
24 games. Obviously, they were 13-0 in 2000. In 1999.
Weren't they like 7-5 or something? Or were they 6-5?
I don't understand. Is this. No, this says they were 7-3?
In conference?
Doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
Overall record.
He was 35-14 as a starter, wins, including his time at Weber State. One in Stripes sent that in.
He was what?
35-14, but that includes his time at Weber State.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. This list of their football seasons is really, really strange. I guess I'll look up the actual 1999 season here. 5 losses. 1, 2, 3, 4. They were 7-5.
That's what I thought.
But this says he played in 11 games, so I don't know. So he missed one of those.
I think maybe the first game he didn't start, and then he took over for the Fletcher guy.
Yeah, okay. So something 4 or 5 losses,
yeah.
24 games or something. All right, we'll come back. We'll kick off hour number 3. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.